I'd like you to open your Bibles at 2 Timothy chapter 2. Before we read, I'd like to say again how happy I am to be with you here in Bethany. Nice to hear that beautiful singing. Great to sing praises unto God. It's great to be a Christian, isn't it? I'd rather be a Christian with the people of God in Bethany today than sitting with the Queen in Buckingham Palace. I enjoyed the world a lot, and I can say today I'm happier now when I'm not happy than I was when I was happy. If you don't understand that, you can ask Jim Starr after the meeting to explain it to you. Timothy chapter 2, 2 Timothy chapter 2. We're going to read at verse 15. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Chapter 3. Verse 13. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast heard, and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation, through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. And the Lord will add a blessing to the reading of his own precious word. The thought that's on my mind today is the study of the word of God. Not so long ago, about 2 months ago, 3 months ago, I was asked to do 5 weeks in the Woodside Bible Chapel in Maywood. I went along there, and as I was preparing for those messages, the studies was in Ezra, in the book of Ezra, God calling a man to serve him and to work for him and to do great things for him. And as I began to think of those little studies that I was going to have in the chapel in Maywood, I thought and I asked myself, what is the reason for Bible study? Why do we study the Word of God publicly? Why do we study the Word of God privately? What is my motive or what is my object? And our brother Jim Starr in his message this morning answered that question, that we might please God. For we're living in days when we're living at a time when we try to be intellectuals, we try to be knowledgeable, and pushed to the back of our minds is pleasing God. Wouldn't it be nice to finish the race with these words heard from the blessed Lord himself, well done, my good and faithful servant. So we got to ask ourselves the question this morning, why am I gathered here? What is the reason for Bible study? And why do I have my quiet times in the home, in the privacy of my own little home? What is the motive or what is the object? Surely we've got to please God in every area of life. And as we study the Word of God, aren't we trying really to please God that we might become Christ-like? How many people there are in the world today who have a tremendous knowledge of this Word, but they do not please God? And we have heard so much of that already. Oh, that I might please God. And very often we're living at a time when there is the fear of man, and we like to be popular. But is there anything wrong with being unpopular and pleasing to God? The Apostle Paul himself could say, as he wrote to the church at Corinth, it's not so important that I might please you, but that I might please God. Isn't it good to live our lives with consciously knowing of the ever-watching eye of our God upon us in everything that we say, in everything that we do, and in every place where we go? We like to claim the wonderful promise from the Lord, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And yet we can do and say and go where we like and still want to claim that promise. But can we? And in everything that we do, we like to please God. Many people at this particular time of the year are graduating. My daughter-in-law in Arkansas, she graduated. I would like to have been there. Her father, who's an elder in the Waterloo Assembly, went down to Arkansas. I happened to be in Florida. My son told me over the telephone last week, he said, Dad, in the will of the Lord, next April or beginning May, I want you in Arkansas. For that is going to be my graduation day, and I want you to be there. I said, Son, I wouldn't miss it. For nothing would I miss that day. For I'm proud of you, and you have been so living a life well-pleasing to your father and your mother. And today, as those stood up and we applauded, wasn't it wonderful, parents, to see your child, your son, or your daughter graduate? And some with honors. Sorry to say, I graduated in the school of sin. And after God saved my soul, a brother asked me to stand publicly and tell what God had done for me. And I said, me? Never. I don't even know how to speak English. He said, Billy, you served the devil well. You'll have to serve the Lord a little bit better. And one day we're going to graduate in the school of God. I think the Apostle Paul, he graduated 3 years in the desert. And there's many mighty men of God who have graduated with an open Bible upon their knee, and they've graduated in the school of God. Isn't it good to read the Word of God and then live the Word of God? Isn't it good to read the Word of God and then to put it into practice, the things that we know, the things that we have heard? This is the encouragement from Paul to young Timothy. How the Apostle Paul must have been thrilled as he looked at this young man as he would graduate in the school of God. But one day, we're going to stand in his presence. I think they do practice it in this country where you put on the gowns. I see President Reagan doing it a lot recently. Of course, he's good at everything. And I'm not a Republican. But one day, those of us who have been redeemed, we're going to stand in the presence of a holy God, clothed in garments of salvation, purchased at Calvary with God's lovely Son. You going to be there? What is my motive for studying the Word of God? Well, here's what I think. When I approach the Word of God, whether it's private or personal, God the Father's involved, and God the Spirit's involved, and God the Son is involved. Well, someone might say, I never thought of that before, neither did I. How many times I took this book, and I've knew about it, but I've never been impressed before, and recently I want to be impressed with the work of God the Father, God the Spirit, and God the Son in my public ministry and in my private ministry. How many times we take the Word of God in the morning time for our quiet time, and we read a few verses, we say a few words in prayer, we close it, and we rush out to school, to work, to the office, and we've got a clear conscience. I've just read that Bible. I've said a few words just to have my conscience clear. I'm speaking from experience. I'm not speaking to you. I'm speaking from experience for how many times the speaker has done just that and neglected to spend enough time searching and digging in the Word of God. And then coming into His presence and asking for that grace which we heard about this morning to fulfill what we have heard and what God has told us and God has instructed us to do. When we go to salvation, there was the work of God the Father, the work of God the Son, and the work of God the Spirit. When we go to creation, we find the work of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. When we go to Genesis chapter 1, we find in the beginning, God made the heaven and the earth. Verse 2, Genesis chapter 1, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. When we go to Colossians chapter 1, we find the Lord Jesus, all things made by Him and for Him, and by Him all things exist or consist. The work of God the Father, God the Spirit, and God the Son in creation. Ephesians chapter 1, we have the work of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit in redemption. We find that God chose us. We are chosen in Him from before the foundation of the world. I've told you before and I'll tell you again. After God saved my soul, I used to tell everybody, you know, I stopped drinking, I stopped fighting, I stopped gambling, you know, I'm a great guy. Until I read in Ephesians chapter 1 and God said, Stevenson, you're a fool. I chose you from before the foundation of the world. And I just fell on my knees and worshiped Him. Isn't it great to be a Christian? Chosen in Him from before the foundation of the world. The work of God. But in Jesus Christ, the work of Son and redemption, we're forgiven and we're redeemed all through Calvary and the shed blood. The work of the Spirit, we are quickened and we are sealed in Ephesians chapter 1, 3 through 14, right? What about Bible study? Well, when I come to open my Bible, do I take time to come into the presence of a holy God and ask Him to help me to understand and then help me to live it? Well, we should. And so before we open the Bible, we pray and we ask God for that help, for that grace. During Bible study, we allow the Spirit of God to teach us, to instruct us, to open our minds to the things that God would have us know. And here's the most important point. The end result of my Bible study and the end result of our being here today should result in Christ-likeness. Living like Jesus Christ. And when we leave this little gathering today and we go out into that world, the world can see that we have been with Jesus, for I'm living what I've heard today. But how many times we feel, isn't it great to be a Christian? Isn't it an honor and is it a privilege to serve the living God of heaven? I'm glad I know Him. And I'm sure glad He knows me. My motive for Bible study. Paul says to Timothy, study to show thyself approved unto God. This is more important. Not study to show thyself approved unto man. Do that, my friend, and you fail. But unto God. The compound word would be make every effort. The English word study is more to referring to the studying of books. But the compound meaning would be, make every effort that your life is God approved. Can I say that of my life today? Well, there's in many areas that I feel. And if I had my life to live over again, I wouldn't do it this way or that way. I think I would do things some other way. But it's not too late. And even from now, if I live my life for God, I know what I'm going to say when I enter into His presence. I know what I'm going to say. Oh Lord, I wish I'd given you more. Just a little bit more. How many Christians are saying that now? Even at this moment, oh Lord, last week, yesterday, I only wish, Lord, I'd given you more. The lovely man appears and the redeemed of the Lord shall rise to meet him. We shall know him by the print of the nails in his hands. And I know what I'm going to say. Lord, I only wish I'd given you more. But it's not too late. We can start today. And if you're not a Christian, you can say, here it is, Lord. Here's my life. And I believe and I surrender and I repent of my sin. And here's my life 100%. A Christian. If you've never done it to this point, let's say, here it is, Lord. I'm not going to be a man pleaser. I'm going to study your word that I might live it for your glory, that the world might see Jesus Christ in me. To live the word of God with the eye of God watching us every moment. When I was in Korea, I had the great privilege of going so very often to a U.S. Army military base. Out in Korea, you get rice and kimchi and seaweed soup. And the seaweed soup looks like something that was caught in the Mississippi around St. Louis. But when you go to the U.S. Army base, well, you get prime rib and barbecued and everything, you name it. I never heard of pecan pie until I went to Korea, believe it or not. So I went to the U.S. Army base. But you know, you needed an American passport. And I haven't got one. You don't get an American passport when you're born in Ireland. And you know, by my accent, I wasn't born in Texas. And I would turn up at that Army base and I would be interviewed. I'd show my British passport and say, fine, go on in. You're welcome. But a few occasions it didn't happen. And especially one day we turned up and we had visitors from out of country, other visiting missionaries, and they turned up and we took them along. Here, you'll enjoy this. We'll take you, and it'll give you a little break, a little touch of heaven. You're tired, you're sick of that seaweed soup and the kimchi. Let us take you to the U.S. military base. We went along that day, it was raining and it was freezing cold. And they kept us standing for 10 minutes in the freezing cold and the rain. And I'm apologizing, and I said, don't be long, it won't be long to rain. This big guy came over, something on his band, it said something like police. I said, sir, these are visitors from out of country. Would you let us in today on our lunch? I'm sorry, you can't get in here. I said, well, we always get in. And he said, listen, you're not getting in today. Well, I said, wouldn't you like to please us? You're not a very popular guy today. Wouldn't you like to please us? He said, listen here, young man. He said, yonder is the CO, my commanding officer, and his eye is on me. And it's more important that I please him than please you. You're not getting in. Isn't that the way we should live? Sure, the neighbors are watching us, and the people are watching us, and sometimes we're not very popular when we lift up the person of the Lord Jesus. But let us remember, his eye is watching us in everything we say, and everything we do, and every place that we go. Make every effort, says Paul to young Timothy. Make every effort that they may be approved of God. And there's some students today, and they've made every effort. I'm sure there's times there's been tears as they studied endlessly in the book. But today they can stand in front of parents and moms and dads, and they get the applause. Isn't it great to get the applause from heaven? Well done, my good and faithful servant. But listen, unless we've experienced a new birth, we cannot take this book. I'd like to say a whole lot, but my time is just about gone. Isn't it wonderful to take this book and to use it for the glory of God? Not just to have an intellectual knowledge of this word. The Apostle Paul reminded young Timothy in chapter 3, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. He had a great grandmother. He had a loving mother. And he had a great friend, the Apostle Paul. No doubt he saw them live their lives, not just to have an intellectual knowledge, but to read the word and to live the word. I very often, I would say to an unsaved partner who would come for counseling, My dear friend, return to your home and don't preach to your partner, but live before your partner for the glory of God. Isn't it great to be a Christian? The Apostle Paul says, enough from a child that has known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. Now let me stop there for a moment, for it says that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. And here is one of these evidences that always proves to me and shows to me that Scripture is God-breathed. For very often as man was writing, he would leave out those important points. Now I have not read the words that I'm going to read to you. Now here's what it says. Which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. That is, the word which you have heard from us, the word which you have read for yourself, is able to make thee wise unto salvation. Period. Praise God, the period is not there. For there is many people, and they read this book, and they study this book, and they don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. But here are the important words, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. You can know this book from Genesis to Revelation, and go to a lost sinner's hell. Someone will say to me, Mr. Preacher, man, don't talk about hell. Again I say, promise me you'll never die, and I'll never mention hell again. It's not so much knowing this book, it's knowing Jesus Christ. There was two men on either side of the Lord Jesus on Calvary's hill. The Lord said to one, today shall thou be with me in paradise. I don't even know if he ever read the books of the law. All indications are that he never read the books of the law. But he had faith in the man who was beside him on the center cross. And he said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. It's not enough to study and to have an intellectual knowledge. We've got to know Jesus Christ. In whom to know is life eternal. And if we love Jesus, we love this book, for this book is full of Jesus Christ. Isn't it good to be a Christian? I'll tell you, it's better still. It's better to live as a Christian. We're the richest people in the world. I don't have much to my name, but I'll tell you, I've got a home, and it's called heaven, and the streets are paved with gold. And I'm heading home to heaven above. And I ask you today, will you go with me? Wouldn't it be nice to meet someone in heaven and hear from you to me and say, hi, Mr. Stevenson, you invited me here. Heaven can be yours today. Let us take this word and let us use it. Just as I close, God said to Joshua, Joshua, I want you to take your sword. And I want you to go to war. And I want you to do this. Get this sword and go, Joshua. He never said a thing. He said, Joshua, he said, I want you to take the word. And don't depart from it. That your way might be prosperous. There's nothing like knowing Jesus Christ. And there's nothing like this book. And there's nothing like living for Jesus according to what is in this book. Let us be sure it's not all up here. Let us be sure it's in here. Thank God I'm a Christian. Shall we pray? Gracious God, our loving Heavenly Father, we speak to Thee in the lovely name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank You, Father, for Calvary and for the Lord Jesus. Thank Thee for saving our souls, bringing us together. Help us, Father, to live for Jesus. There will be one Father in the gathering today who does not know the Lord Jesus in a personal way. We have asked thee, Father, to save us all. Open the blinded mind, the blinded eyes. May that faith pour into the heart. May they turn to Calvary, to the Lord Jesus, and by faith say, Jesus died for me. We thank you, Father, for an empty tomb. Thank you for a throne that's filled. And we thank you for the words from the throne, I will come again. Part us with thy blessing and bless us and keep us, for we ask it in the Savior's lovely name. Amen.